I would not be practicing what I preached to you all last week about the importance of stepping out of a comfort zone and being willing to step out and know that God's going to take care. And it was very difficult for me, and it still is. But I know that I'm trying each and every day, not just here at Sand Hill Baptist Church, but each and every day to try to live for Jesus in all that I do. And as I've shared with you all many times, it's something that I struggle with daily, and I know that you all struggle with these things daily as well. I struggle in my home life, trying to be the man that I'm supposed to be, the godly man that I'm supposed to be. And so sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone and do things differently. This morning, Amanda and I stepped out of our comfort zone and did something that I don't think we've done since we've been married together. We were working together in the kitchen. And I'm going to tell you, it went well. I didn't manage my time as good as I should have, but I think for the most part it went well. We only bumped into each other once, and when we bumped into each other, she gave me a smile. She could have gave me a punch, you know, but she gave me a smile. And so I had to step in my comfort zone this morning to realize that I need to do things differently sometimes. And then I began to think about how my daddy always helped out at Christmas and at Thanksgiving when it was time to prepare meals. He didn't just go sit and relax in the recliner. Now, you men that may do that, I'm not knocking you for that. But he would always help. And so I got to thinking about my daddy doing that. That was out of his comfort zone. Even though it was a woman he'd been married to for many, many years, that was still not his element. And they worked good together. So I thought about that this morning, and I tried. Now, Amanda may say differently that things didn't work this as smooth this morning, but I thought it went pretty well. We managed to make two casseroles, and I prepared one baked spaghetti for Mom and Daddy to come over for lunch this morning. And we got here to church on time. Now, I ran in the door for fellowship this morning at 9:33, but the casserole was hot, wasn't it, Mr. Billy and Miss Brenda and Hugh? It was hot. I came running in hot, and the casserole was hot. But we have to step out of our comfort zones sometimes, even in some of the most impractical ways. And so each one of us has things that we need to do to step out of our comfort zone. And so initially I was thinking of having a comfort zone part two message today. But then I was doing some reading in the middle part of the week, and then some more on Thursday, and then God revealed this message to me speaking about antagonistic towards Christmas, and how one can be very antagonistic. You may have many people in your life that is very antagonistic, and if you don't know what that word means, just a few descriptor words from Merriam-Webster is one who opposes or contends towards another person. Sometimes we can be antagonistic towards our spouse, towards our family, towards our friends, towards life in general. A few synonyms are hostile, resentful, unfriendly, and then unsympathetic. Now, I know that myself included, that that's a word that's tough to think about sometimes. Christians, can we truly be unsympathetic? Can Christians truly be unfriendly? Even when you think you have good intentions of what you're trying to do, but if you're doing it for the wrong motive, it's really all for naught. And so we can be very unsympathetic. We can be resentful. You may be resentful towards someone right now. You may have a resentful heart right now for any given reason. No matter what, no matter how small the infraction may be or how large the infraction may be, I know that there's people sitting here today and all around us that we come in contact with every single day who have resentment within their hearts. But if we are born-again believers in God of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not supposed to have that resentment. Doesn't mean that you don't, but we're not supposed to harbor that resentment. We're supposed to be able to forgive, not always forget, but we've got to forgive. Now, the forgetting part is difficult. I think sometimes the forgetting part really is more difficult than the forgiving, because truly, if you can't really forget and you continue to let it linger, then have you really forgiven? And so I would say, in my personal beliefs, that that's probably correct. If you can't truly forget, then you probably didn't truly forgive. And so we have to be grateful and thankful that Jesus Christ, He willfully forgives us every single day. And what does He do after that? He forgets the infraction in which we've committed. But we are so the opposite. We are so the opposite of what Jesus Christ intended. And so antagonistic towards Christmas is the title of the message. And if you notice in your bulletin, I had those words, Christ, all capital, capitalized the word Christ, and then must was lowercase. And I did that for a reason. As a matter of fact, I really do that all the time. If I send a Christmas email out, a Merry Christmas text out, you're going to get it with all Christ, all caps. And so, but I did this for the main reason of we're going to look at being antagonistic towards Christmas, but we're really antagonistic towards who? Christ. And so if we don't have Christ within our hearts, then that's where the resentment comes into play. And we have great resentment. And we're going to talk a brief story, a background story of resentment during Christ Day. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 2, 12 through 18 is what we're going to read. This is the background passage, I guess you'd say, for today's message. But I'm telling you today, I hope that you know where your Bible, your books of your Bible are today, because we're going to be thumbing through a lot of different scriptures today. And I want you to read it with me as I read it today. But for right now, we're going to read Matthew 2, verses 12 through 18. And out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, I encourage you to stand and follow along as I read. This is speaking about King Herod, and we know the evil man that King Herod was. So starting with verse 12, and we'll read through 18. It says, "Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. He appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Verse 16 reads, Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for all that you do in our lives each and every day. May you add a blessing to this message. May the Holy Spirit speak through me. And I pray today, God, that we will learn the importance of embracing Christmas. More importantly, God, in embracing your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you. Amen. You may be seated. So we look around here today, and I don't know if it's because I'm older now and I don't see the magic like I used to see it as a child at Christmas, but maybe it's because now I got responsibilities, and when I was growing up, I didn't have to worry about those things, and I was able to enjoy Christmas, the decoration of Christmas, the parties that come with Christmas. I don't know. Maybe that was the case. But now we're so busy. We're all so busy. And so sometimes we don't ever really get the chance to slow down and just really appreciate what Christmas is all about, what God's Word is all about, whether it be through song or whether it be through His Word in the Bible. Just as, you know, last week, I know Miss Rhonda is probably really glad that the production is over, because now she can relax. But I guarantee if you asked her, well, you're going to do it again, as long as she's still here leading this church through music, through song, she's going to continue to do that. And that's a blessing. But at the same time, it can be a headache. It can be difficult. And then the practice that they've put in for tonight. But God wants us to be able to enjoy those types of things and not to look at it begrudgingly, like saying, well, we got to do the Christmas cantata. Oh, we got to go and support those adults tonight when they sing their Christmas cantata. That's not how we should be. We really should be just like those shepherds were, just like those wise men were when they saw that star, seeing they needed to be somewhere. They strived, they pushed themselves harder and harder to get to that destination because they knew that the King was born. And so why we sing songs about Christmas? Why do we come here to worship? We are here every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday because of the birth of our Lord and Savior. So we should not ever be resentful for wanting to come to church or having to come to church, no matter how young or how old you may be. It should be a glorious opportunity to get the opportunity to come in and to worship and not to have those types of feelings towards the church because, you know, as I said, we have those feelings that maybe you just don't want to come. It's not because you don't want to be here because of the building. It's not because you don't want to be here because of specific people. It's really you're being antagonistic towards the will of the Father. Bottom line, you can make up excuse after excuse of why you don't want to do something for Christ, but the bottom line is you don't want to do something for Christ because you don't care to please the Father, that you're selfish, that you want to do what you want to do. And so we have to make sure that we are always willing to serve God and to always have a positive attitude towards God. But as I said, we can see the enjoyment of Christmas, the enjoyment of the trees, the enjoyment of the decoration, the parades that maybe you've attended, the parties that you may have attended. But then you can maybe look around and you can begin to see some people who are filled with bitterness, who have great disdainment in their heart. And they may look like they've got it all together. They may look that they're really happy, but on the inside, deep down inside, there's great bitterness and disdainment in their hearts because they are resenting or resentful towards something that maybe happened years and years ago. You know, all of us have those skeletons, I guess we'd say, in our closet, things that we don't want to really admit. You know, we want everybody to think that our family lives are perfect, that we all have it to get have it all together. But every one of us here, I'm sure, can tell a story, can testify of a story where things didn't go like you really wanted them to within your family, myself, my family included. We all have those types of reasons, and there's reasons within our lives that we can develop resentment, and that's understandable that we develop resentment, but we cannot hold on to that resentment. We've got to be able to let it go and let God have His way. Is that easy? No, it's not. Very difficult. Very difficult. But remember, you're not to do it on your own. You should not want to do it on your own. Number one, you can confess your sins to God, of course, and allow Him to take care of it. But then at the same time, surround yourselves with like-minded Christians, like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, so they can be your support group. Very important that we have a Christian support group. And if I'm telling you now, if you're a child of God and your support group are those that do not believe the way you do and do not study God's Word and do not really even believe in God, you better find a new support group. Because they're not giving you any support whatsoever. You're basically being supported by Satan himself. You need to make sure that you surround yourselves with people who have your best interest at heart because their minds, their hearts are in line with God's. That's what we should hope to do. But as I said, though, our problem in society is really not antagonism towards Christmas, the Christmas season. We know people do get upset during this time of year, maybe because they lost a loved one around this time, or they just have lost a loved one, and the holiday season can be difficult. But deep down inside, I feel that the true issue is just the resentment and the negative attitude towards Christ. They don't want to understand and believe that what He really has is so good. It's that true. His offering. And so we need to understand and know that that's what He has prepared for us. He wants us to be the exact opposite of being antagonistic. He doesn't want us to be resentful. He wants us to be friendly. He wants us to be loving. He wants us to be sympathetic with those who are having harder times within their own lives. So as we mentioned, though, with King Herod, I talk about King Herod and the resentment that he had. I mean, how great of hate was in this man's heart that he set out a decree that every boy 2 years and younger was to be killed because he wanted to make sure he got rid of this little baby who was one day going to be king. He didn't want to be dethroned. He didn't want to lose his power. And of course, we know the power that he obtained was only given to him because God allowed it. And you know, we see that God also unfortunately allowed these evil things to take place to get the will of His Son done. But we know that God had a plan, and he knew that he had to protect his son, his only begotten son. So he told Joseph, and aren't you glad that Joseph was obedient to listen to the father and take his family to Egypt as he was told? He followed those directions from God, and he hid his son away until the death of Herod. But we know that there was nothing that was going to keep Jesus down. There was nothing that was going to kill him or take him from this earth until God said, "My son, it is time." And so Herod had great antagonism towards Jesus. So from the very beginning of his birth, antagonistic people have been around. And so it's going to continue to be around from day in and day out till the Lord chooses to rapture the church. So my question today, though, is what is it about Jesus, rather, that causes some people to feel such great hostility? What is it? What causes people to have such hostile feelings towards Jesus? Is it a lack of knowledge? Is it a lack of commitment? Both? Unwilling to surrender their all to him and be ruled by this God that they can't see? You know, you think about it. I mean, do you like truly to be told what to do? Do you even like to be asked what to do? You know, will you mind doing this? Sometimes we don't even like it like that. So why in the world would we want to surrender our lives to this God that we can't see? This God that we can't touch? But we know that we are to walk by faith every single day, that we're not going to walk by sight. And one day, we're going to behold him. We're going to see him in all of his glory, his Shekinah glory. We're going to get to do that. We're going to get to participate in that. So as born-again believers in God and the Lord Jesus Christ, there really should never be a time in your life where you should show resentment. No matter the circumstances of life, you should be able to push it aside and remember that Jesus Christ died for you, because you think the sins that you've committed are truly no greater than the sins of those around you that's been committed. Maybe to a degree of difficulty, they may have hurt you a little bit more. But think about how we hurt Jesus, how we break his heart daily when we're not living for him as we're supposed to. We break his heart daily. We know that Herod's fury was fueled by his great desire for power and control. And I think that comes along with our lives as well, that sometimes the fury that we have within our lives, the hate that we have within our lives is because we're not able to be in control as we truly desire. People today scorn the celebration of Christ's birth for the very same reason. They don't want anyone else ruling their life, and that's very important that we understand that, because you think about it. At one time in your life, if you are a born-again believer in God, there was a time where you probably had these very same feelings where you didn't really want to admit that you needed someone else to rule your life. But oh, how you do need that individual to rule your life, that individual being God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." This verse here simply alludes to the people who constantly reject Jesus Christ. And when they reject Jesus Christ, what else they're doing is they're suppressing the truth about life eternal. And you know, you think about that. You think about how many people that you do know who are rejecting God's word and really don't have a desire to know him more. And one day, they may be living really well right now, but then one day, their lives are going to be miserable. They're going to be ruined. And there'll be nothing that they can do about it. So how do we go about not being antagonistic towards Christmas? Antagonistic towards Christ? If you would, turn to John 3, verses 19 and 21, through 21, rather. John 3, 19 through 21. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Light, we know, exposes darkness. No matter how bright the light is, and no matter how dark the space you're in, if you shine just a little bit of light, it's going to eradicate some of the darkness. So if you just shine a little bit of Jesus' light into other people's lives, it can begin to eradicate their darkness. Their darkness is always a synonym, really, for evil in our Christian belief. We know that light is a symbolism of God's good works, God's love for you and for me, and dark being a symbolism of evil and the sin that controls this world. And so the main reason, though, that I feel that people reject Jesus is not due to that lack of understanding of the gospel in itself, but really unwilling to recognize that they need Jesus, to recognize that they need someone else to be in control of their lives, and also to make that change. Think about that for a moment. You think about maybe the life that you used to live, and then you became in line with the will of God, and you had to make a change. You realized that you had to make a change, that you could not continue to live both lifestyles. They don't exist together. They can't exist together. They're not congruent one with another. And so you've got to be willing to make that change. And you know, that may mean that you've got to give up something that you really love doing, something really, really fun that you love doing. And it may not be something that's terribly, terribly sinful. It may not even be sinful at all in the sense of what you're doing. But when you begin to allow that activity to be your God, then that's when sin enters in. When you allow that activity to come in, and when it takes away your time of worship, when it takes away your time of reading God's Word, coming here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesdays, or any other opportunity that you have here at Sand Hill, if you got something else coming up, and I don't mean that it happens on occasion, but I'm speaking of habitually, week after week after week, when you find reasons. No, they're not reasons. They're excuses. And you remember last Sunday I said, you know, God does not really like a lazy person at all, a lazy believer. But he really does not like a Christian who constantly makes excuses for why they don't want to do something for God. And as I don't understand, because, you know, if you felt his power and you felt his love and you've seen how he's blessed you and your family, why can you not give him just a little bit of time? Not just here on Sunday morning, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Give him a little bit of time. He just wants to have a deeper relationship with you. And when you are able to do that, the things that we speak of, the resentment, the hostility that can be within your heart, and Christians can have this too. This isn't just for the unbeliever. The Christian can have resentment within their heart. But we can be forgiven of that resentment. But one who has not called upon the name of the Lord to save them, they can't be forgiven of that sin yet, because they're not even forgiven of the ultimate sin of knowing that they are a sinner and they're in need of a Savior. That's where it starts. But once that begins to take place and it manifests within your life, then that desire should be much deeper. It should be much greater for you to want to know Him more. Now, if you would, go ahead and turn to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. The scripture that we're going to go over now is something that I really want you to ponder on, not just now, but really throughout the course of this week. For, you know, if we are a true child of God, we shouldn't harbor these types of feelings towards one another. We shouldn't have that resentment that's in our hearts. And if you really want to get rid of it, you can get rid of it. If you really want to get rid of those negative thoughts, those negative feelings, you can get rid of it. But if you don't want to get rid of it, it's not going anywhere. We can, as a church, can pray for specific things to take place. We can pray for God's will to be done. But we know that if you are not aligning your heart with God as you should, it's not going to take place. Now, God can make it take place, but He needs a willing vessel. But if you are a child of God, your desire should be, God, I need it to take place. I need you to intervene in my life to make this area of my life right. So Colossians 3, 1 through 4. I'm going to list you five things that you and I can do daily, more than once a day, on how we can eradicate that antagonistic thought towards one another or towards individuals in our lives. This is for the believer and the non-believer. So the first thing is focus on God. And so Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 reads, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then also we'll appear with him in glory." So if you can focus on God, and you can see God's word, and you can see God's work working within your life, that's step number one to how you can overcome those antagonistic views towards whomever has done you wrong, towards whomever has committed a sin against you, a hurtful act against you. Focus on God and relish in His glory. The second thing is return good for evil. If you would, turn to Romans 12, 19 through 21. Returning good for evil. Now, I'm telling you, this is a hard one, isn't it? How in the world does God expect us to do something good to someone who's always causing you heartaches and pain? How can you do that? You can't. You can't do it on your own. You're never going to do that on your own. I know y'all, I probably say that in some form or fashion every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and probably even on Wednesdays, that you're not going to do this on your own. You remember earlier I said you got to want to. You got to want to do this because you know it's right. You know this is what God wants you to do. Romans 12, 19 through 21, returning good for evil. Sorry, I lost my place here. "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now here's the thing with that. I know I've heard this verse even as a child. And you even hear this verse even used in movies. And they're not using it in the correct terminology. "The vengeance is mine." And they don't hear, you don't add the part, "saith the Lord." But vengeance is going to be of the Lord. Now, if you're trying to do good so you can spitefully heap those coals on their head, that's not right. That's incorrect. You've got to have a true desire in your heart to do exactly what is right, doing good for evil. No matter how hard it is, you pray to God, "God, I need you to move me, to literally pick me up and move me in the direction in which you want me to go so I can do this for you, God." Not for self. Now, you receive a blessing for it, but the main idea is that you're doing it so that God will continually get the honor and the glory. Because number one, we're focusing on God. Number two, we're wanting to return good for evil. That's very difficult to do, but we can do it through the strength of our Lord and Savior. Number three, know that God is still in control. Know that God is still in control. How many of you think about that daily? How many of you literally think about as you're driving to work or even just getting ready in the mornings that God is in control? Just one verse I want to share from Revelation 1:17. "And when I saw him," this is John, "and when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last.'" Can you imagine what that was like? He laid his hand upon him and he told John, "Fear not. I'm the Lord your God. I'm going to take care of you, John. I'm going to see you through to the end." So every day that you get up and you are a born-again believer of God, his hand's upon your shoulder. And you, "Fear not. I'm in control. I'm going to take care of you." Focus on God. Return good for evil. Know that God is in control. Number four, forgive those who have hurt you. If you would, turn to Mark 11. Mark 11, Now, this is another difficult thing. Matter of fact, all five of these are very difficult. Number one is probably the easiest, in my opinion. We can easily focus on God. But then when we focus on God, we got to then be able to do the other things that He needs us to do. The being able to return good for evil. And being able to constantly recognize that God is in control. But then number four, as I said, forgive those who have hurt you. I know this is very difficult to do. I've experienced it myself. You've experienced yourself. We've all been down that road. And there's probably some sitting here today who are going down this very road right now. But the key to being an unresentful human being and doing what God has asked you to do is to follow His commandment and His word. Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. Forgiveness and prayer. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's cut and dry. You've got to be able to forgive so God can do what He needs to do in your life. Now, it doesn't mean that the individual has to accept your apology or that you have been of a forgiving spirit to them. Now, if they don't accept it and they don't want to deal with it, that's on them. You, just like when you present God's Word and you're trying to win a lost soul to Christ, you can't make them accept God as their Lord and personal Savior. All you simply do is present it. And then we allow God to take care of the rest. So you've got to be willing to forgive. And if you don't, your prayer life is hindered. Your spiritual life is hindered. There's not going to be as much growth in Christ if you don't do as He tells us to. And if you notice in your Bible, not all Bibles are always written in red through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in my Bible, this is written in red. So this is coming right from Jesus Christ Himself, coming right from His mouth. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Focus on God, return good for evil. Know that God is in control. Forgive those who have hurt you. And then the last one. Now this is one that none of us really should have a problem with. It's simply being thankful for what you have. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Being thankful for what you have. And I know that we just came out of our Thanksgiving season and then we're ushering in Christmas very quickly. But do you ever think about that, though? Do you ever just sit around in your house or maybe even at your job or wherever you are, whatever you do, and just tell Jesus thank you? To look around at all the things that He's blessed you with? I don't think we do it enough. I don't do it enough. We have so much to be thankful for everything that God has given us. Verses 28 and verses 29 of Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. God's people are responsible for serving Him with gratitude. We should respond with serving God with gratitude and with great service. And we are to serve God with reverence and of fear. And not of fear as in you're scared and petrified of God in Himself, but out of reverence, that your knees are trembling out of the reverence of who He is. For how great is our God that we serve. We fear Him out of total reverence, for He is in total control of life itself. Everything that we have, we should be thankful for. He tells us, I love though, it says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. Is your service to God acceptable in His sight? It may be acceptable in my sight or in man's sight. But is it acceptable in the eyes of God? And by the grace that He's bestowed upon you, He can make it so. He can take that antagonistic feeling from your heart, that resentment, that hostility that you have within your heart, and take it away. Our grace and thanksgiving is in our hearts. We should always show towards others. And I feel that, love conquers all. We know that. And so if we are able to fill our hearts with love, we know that we can get rid of that antagonistic thought, that resentment that comes in within our hearts. And I use this title tonight, or this morning rather, I'm sorry, antagonistic towards Christmas because of this season. And we think about the Christmas season, and unfortunately how many people do have it rough sometimes during the holidays, so it seems. And so they are Scrooges, bah humbug towards Christmas. But really, that's not what it is. If they're able to allow Jesus Christ to come and live within their heart, and I say this to you today too as the believer in Jesus, this speaks to you and myself as well, because even though we're a child of God, that resentment can still develop and it can linger. And the only way to get rid of it is ask God to take it away, to ask God to forgive you of whatever is causing you to have that resentment so that you can move on with your life, because if you don't, you're hindering your relationship with God. Not with anybody else. Your main focus and your priority should be, am I hindering my relationship with God? What am I doing for God? Is it acceptable? The way I'm treating people in my life, the people that I'm in contact with, is it acceptable in the eyes of God? And we know if we're not doing what God has led us to do, the answer is no. Not easy. Not easy, but God wants us to focus on Him. In closing, I'll say that remembering that Christmas in itself is not what most individuals resent, but they actually resent the one who sent Christmas. Christmas being the Lord Jesus Christ. There's where the resentment lies. Not towards the holiday that man has given it, the label that man has given it, the secular holiday that we celebrate, but actually for the one who is the reason for the season. So remember, focus on God, return good for evil. Know that God is still in control. Forgive those who have hurt you and be thankful for what you have today. Every blessing that God has sent your way. When we're able to do this, we can reach and we can teach those around us. We can show others the importance of filling our hearts with love, filling their hearts with love, and eradicating that hostility and that resentment. Sometimes people who resent Christianity and Christmas may seem very unreachable. And you think about that. You probably know individuals that you've tried to reach out to and they just feel as if there's not any chance that they can be reached. But the thing that we have to focus on is that nothing is beyond the reach of the Lord Jesus Christ. His will be done. It shall be done. Whether you agree with it or not, God's will shall be done. So I encourage you to not be antagonistic. I encourage you not to have resentment within your heart, but to have a heart full of love, a heart full of joy that can only be given through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father God, we love you and we praise you. God, I thank you for all that you do in our lives each and every day. Father, I pray today that we strive to serve you wholeheartedly. Father, that we strive to please you in all that we do. And God, when we don't, may you give us the discernment and the wisdom to recognize our failures, our shortcomings, and correct those things, God. Make those things right. Not just with you, God, but with those for whom we've offended. Lord, our pride continually gets in our way. We constantly throw up our walls of defense to protect ourselves, God. But if we will allow you to have total control of our lives, Father, we can take those walls down. Those defenses can be dropped. For we know that you're the one who is in control and protecting us, Father. God, we do love you and we do praise you. Lord, we are so grateful for your Son's birth and his life and his death and especially his resurrection. Father, I pray that we will take time to be holy through this month of December, but may it carry on through the year of 2018. Father, we do love you and we praise you. Amen. Hymn 275.